Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker starting a new show here on this Wednesday afternoon live from Orchard Park, New York, right next door to the Bills Stadium with that brand new, spanking new field in there, waiting for the first preseason game now just a couple of weeks away. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm John Murphy. This is Steve Tasker. We come to you every day, noon to 3. You can listen on the radio, as many of you are, on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. You may be watching on the MSG side, on the video side on MSG. Either way, happy to have you. A lot to talk about. And Steve, I just get the feeling today, I've asked you a couple of times, how do we start? And I was thinking about this a minute ago. We are in the total transition period right now. We are in the waiting period, right? You can feel it. You can feel it, you know, as we go to our morning meeting and talk about content issues and we sit in our office and talk about this show and future shows. You can tell that we're all just waiting for the next step. And the next step is only 8 days away when training camp begins.
It's kind of weird because at this time of year, and it's been this way for a couple of months now, where we kind of choose what we want to talk about, right?
Yes.
It's like, let's, you know, and we came up with this thing we're going to do, you know, lunchtime, you know, what's for lunch thing we're doing. We're talking about, you know, 716 day yesterday. We're talking about, you know, the taste of Buffalo, you know, all the stuff. We took vacations. In a couple of weeks, there is no choice. There's going to be stuff to talk about with this team all day, every day. And so it's kind of fun now to use our kind of relaxed mode and, you know, just look around and say, what else is going on? And it's, you know, I'm watching golf constantly now with the Open Championship on TV and stuff because once the season goes, even in my spare time, I'm watching, like, other football teams,
sure.
You know, I'm watching football. So it's kind of a, you're right, it's transition. We're kind of getting ready. And I know this too, fans, you can just feel it, man.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I talk about this all the time. So when we go out in Buffalo or around, everybody's like coming right up to you. They don't hesitate. They go, okay, you know, because you can tell how excited people are for the season. And and for you and me, we're kind of in full relax mode.
Right.
We're just the opposite of it.
I feel like we're in you know, before you have a party or before you have people come over, you tidy up. I feel like we're in tidy up mode at work right now. Like, just kind of taking care of the last few details, kind of working out the kinks here and anticipating what next week will be like, what the trip to Spartanburg, South Carolina is going to be like, what the preseason games will be like. We're in that mode, just kind of looking ahead, making sure everything's in place and taking care of what we can. Because you're right, once we get to camp, and then a week, 2 weeks later, once the preseason games begin, you don't have time to think. It's all reaction. Game, reaction.
It's routine.
Get ready for the next game. Reaction. Game, reaction. You know what I mean? And it's a good routine, and we have a good show and during the regular season and the preseason, and we have good shows from training camp, but it's pretty much dictated, like what we're going to do. We don't spend a whole lot of time once we go to camp or regular season saying, what are we going to talk about today? We spend the bulk of our time now saying, what are we going to talk about today?
Because everybody's in the same mode, too. You go to – you spend – like I do, you spend your time – I mean, I watch ESPN. I'll watch NFL Network, and you watch Fox Sports. You watch all these, you know, CBS Sports, and you go to all the websites, and you're reading articles. And everybody's kind of in the same mode. They're like, what do you think – this means, you know, what about this guy? How come this guy didn't go to, you know, OTAs and doesn't mean anything? And there was a thing now, six of the Washington Redskins didn't do any of the offseason act, none of them. And it cost a couple of them, six of these guys, anywhere from 150 grand all the way up to 200 grand because they didn't do, forget about like just 90%. They didn't do any of it.
Mandatory minicamp.
They didn't do anything. They didn't even show up. And they were like, it's like guys. It's not just like rookie draft picks who weren't signed. It cost them a couple hundred grand not to go to the off-season workouts. It was amazing. And, you know, does it mean anything? I have a hard time thinking it does. I mean, it may say something about them. you know, about the atmosphere, about the culture. I think it says more about the Redskins than it does about those players.
Yeah, I was just
going
to say.
You know, but the stuff like that's going on. That's what we're, you know, you're kind of thinking about right now is there's no wins and losses to talk about. So we are, speaking of tidy up mode, you know, our office needs, Jay Harris's workspace is a mess.
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
I did not notice. Well, yeah, welcome to the show. Steve and I are here to go for the next 3 hours about the Bills and the NFL. A special guest coming up at 1 o'clock. One of our favorites, one of your favorites, Kyle Williams, will join us on the telephone line. A lot to talk about with Kyle, including the fact that he is the narrator for Embedded Returns on Sunday this week. Kyle Williams is the narrator. Buffalo Bills Embedded, the digital series that started last year, returning this summer for season two. It will air in its entirety this Sunday, 7 p.m. on the Bills YouTube channel. And Kyle Williams, 13-year veteran, just retired, is going to be the narrator for Embedded. We'll talk with Kyle about that at 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock, coming out a little bit later, but the initial release came the other day. Madden 20, the video game, and Clint Oldenburg, Madden NFL gameplay designer and ratings advisor, former NFL offensive tackle. He's going to join us at 2 to talk about Madden 20. Have you ever been involved in Madden 20 video? I have not. I'm aware of it. I mean, my sons used to play it years ago. They don't now. I don't. Maybe they do. They're kind of young men now. But
no,
you ever get involved in that at all?
No, not directly. I told you I was in the interview process to be on the game.
Yeah.
As one of the game announcers, you know, they have a voice of Madden. Before Charles Davis got it, he and I were in they were trying to decide between the two of us, and I didn't want to relocate.
It was
one of the reasons.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting questions I want to ask Clint Oldenburg is, it is a full-time job being those guys on that game. I mean, they got to do it. It's like a full-time job, especially even during the season, once they record everything, because they update it constantly. And the technology is ever-evolving, as you can imagine. In this day and age, the technology goes further and further and further. Now they've got different attachments, different levels of the game you can buy and trade. And it's pretty interesting to think about how serious it is. And now they've got e-leagues. E-teams, you know, mm-hmm. where these team guys are doing it professionally. It's pretty amazing how far the technology has allowed them to come. And some of that stuff, Clint Oldenburg will let it help us to sift through, and we can ask him about
coming
it.
On with
it's pretty interesting.
2 o'clock today, we'll talk. When you played in the NFL, played for the Buffalo Bills, Madden existed, right? What did we look it up today? Late 80s?
88 was the first year.
So do you have any did it matter to you? Because sometimes even Tre'Davious White complained a little bit about his player rating. Did you care what your Madden rating was, your player rating?
I was just glad I was on the team. You know, you know what I do still have, though?
It was a different game.
Yeah, it was. John Madden was he transformed the analyst seat in the booth, right? So he did all this stuff. He's the guy that figured out that if they could have the analyst circle stuff on the screen, the telestrator.
Yeah.
He brought that up. He did a lot of innovative things with technology, and that's why he was – you know, so good at it. He was really an innovator. One of the things I still have is back in when he first started, he started picking the All Madden team. So from all over the league, it was like kind of like being on an All Pro team, except this one guy at Madden would pick the guys. I still have my for getting on the Madden team. You'd think, wow, what do you get? I got a sweatshirt, right,
the
All Madden thing on it. I've still got it. 1991. Think how old that thing is. So I've still got that in my house. And I've worn it. I used to wear it all the time for some whatever, but now I just kind of hang on to it.
You know what I was thinking? And I will ask Clint Oldenburg this from one of the game developers for Madden. What percentage of players do you think even know who John Madden is or was?
Well, I bet they still know who he was.
Really?
Yeah, they grew up listening to the guy, you know?
Nah. 17, 16-year-olds, they didn't grow up listening to John Madden.
How long has he been out of the game?
He's been out for a while, man.
I don't know, not that long, right?
I'll look. I'm telling you. I'll ask Clint
this. Still be.
I don't know if that name resonates with kids.
It may not.
Anymore.
I think the game does. But, yeah, you might be right. Let's face it. I mean, you 21-year-old Tremaine Edmonds. He may not.
Madden retired from broadcasting after the 2008 season, 11 years ago. So if you're 16, 17.
10, 11 guys. Yeah, I bet they got it. 16 or 17-year-old kids, maybe not.
Right.
For sure. But yeah, because now they're more into, you know, Tony Romo and all the, sure, the current guys, Troy Aikman and those guys.
Clint Oldenburg coming up with us at 2 to talk about Madden 20, the new game that is out, and a lot more to talk about. We are, as I said, in the transitional mode here at One Bills Drive. You saw this somewhere, came up with this. We are counting down days. We're in countdown mode, too, and the 2019 NFL season is, what did you say?
50 days from Thursday night opener.
50 days today. To, right, the opener, to the opener, which is 7 weeks and one day.
7 weeks and a day. Yeah, it'll be excellent. Tomorrow. 7 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is when the season begins. And it's, there's all these countdowns. The whole, there's, I mean, we have Chris Brown on once in a while. They've got the countdown thing going for the Buffalo Bills down to the training camp, which is now 6 days away, or nine days away. Whatever it is. What is it? Is it? I mean, it's 8 days away.
Training camp. That's another countdown that we got going on. Eight days away for the Bills training camp.
Starts. They report Wednesday, and practice is Thursday.
Yeah, veterans and everybody report on Wednesday. Rookies are here in the building early next week for the start. By the way, that NFL kickoff game, September 5th, 2019, the Bears and the Packers, that's the first game. And then the Bills get started at training camp 8 days away. We'll be there next Thursday. Training camp's opening today, by the way. The Denver Broncos, rookies and veterans reporting today. They'll be on the field tomorrow. The Broncos, the first team to hold a full squad practice tomorrow morning. Denver, the reason they're a week early, they play Atlanta in the Hall of Fame game on August 1st. Also today, rookies report for a couple of other teams. Arizona, right? New head coach. They get to go early. Baltimore, rookies report today. Seattle, rookies report today. By the end of the week, the Falcons, the Lions, the Saints, and the Jets will have their rookies in. All 32 NFL teams in camp by next Thursday. The Bills, one of 20 NFL teams that have scheduled joint practices with other teams. So the majority of the league now gets together with somebody else.
Just about a third of the teams don't. A third of the teams go away for training camp, and a third of the teams do not do joint practices.
Yep. Well, and here are the numbers on staying home this year. 69% of NFL teams will stay home for training camp. 22 of 32 teams, meaning they go at their own practice facility or their home stadium or close to home. And the interesting thing is 19 years ago, 2000, only 32% of teams stayed close to home. So we're up to 69% who do not go away for training camp. And 19 years ago, it was just 32%. 10 teams still hold camp away from their facilities, including the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are in the minority there. It is a trend. I mean, people talk about the future of training camp in Rochester. It's not just a Bills thing. It's a trend around the league. And quite frankly, when you have facilities like the Bills have here, you can't replicate that at Fisher or any other college.
I was talking to some of the strength conditioning coaches, the staff, and they said that I asked them, because we've always talked about, they bring truckloads. They bring huge semi-trailers over here to the stadium, and they load everything up, and they take it to St. John Fisher. And I asked, the guys, I said, how much of this stuff, because this new stuff we've been showing on MSG, this new building they got, how much are you taking over there? He goes, not much.
Yeah.
He goes, we gave all our stuff to St. John Fisher that we replaced,
right,
and so we can use it while we're there.
But it's the old stuff.
Yeah, but it's the same stuff. It's just not new.
They're gonna
use the stuff that's there, knowing that it's adequate for their needs for 2 weeks that they're gonna be there, 2.5 weeks.
A lot of what the new training center is about, and you've pointed this out, is recovery, right? Rest, recovery.
Right.
They don't have that at Fisher. They don't have
that's
a little bit different. So,
but I asked him about the weight room stuff. He may be saying, they may take sleep pods and cryo chambers and all of that stuff. They may take all that stuff over there, but for the weight room and stuff, they have over the years. St. John Fisher's benefited.
Oh, no question.
Greatly from the stuff that the Bills have
brought. And they've been great to the Bills, too.
I think it's been a great relationship.
Week and a day away from our first show at training camp, Bills players will be on the field that day on Thursday, July 25th for their first workout, 9:45, and we'll be on the air at 12 noon. So that's where we're at in transition mode in between the offseason and the start of training camp. And time to take a serious look at what the Bills are going into this camp. That gets us to today's Twitter poll, not a poll, today's Twitter question, today's topic to get it going. You can catch it on Twitter at OneBillsLive. For the Bills to make the play, it's simple. For the Bills to make the playoffs this year, 2019, they must do what? What's the one thing that you can think of that has to happen for the Bills to make the playoffs? Is it Josh Allen? Is it a statistical thing? Is it takeaways? Is it winning certain games, you know, going 5-1 in the AFC East. What is it you think the one thing the Bills must do to make the playoffs? Is there a statistical milestone they have to surpass, you know, touchdowns versus interceptions? Do they have to get a bounce back year from a particular player? We left it wide open because, look, there is no one answer. That's right. What got us here. There is no one answer. Like, this happens, Bills in the playoffs. We know that. And that's why we left it wide open. You know how typically on the Twitter poll we will list three, maybe give other a chance? We didn't do that because we want you to think about this a little bit and come up with your scenario, whatever you think it is. It's a simple question. We'll take phone calls on it at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or on Twitter, you can send in your tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. At One Bills Live, for the Bills to make the playoffs in 2019, they must do what? Now, think of one thing. I know there's a long list, right? There's a long list of stuff that needs to happen. The one thing, if you ask me, what's the one thing that has to happen for the Bills to make the playoffs? I think they have to get a better NFL caliber passing game. And that covers a lot of stuff. It covers Josh. It covers receivers making plays. It covers approach, the type of throws they make. But if I can summarize it into one thing, that would be it, to have an NFL-caliber passing game, which they did not have last year. You can argue they haven't had it in a little while. And that would be the one thing I would look at. You know, if you get an NFL-caliber passing game with a decent amount of touchdown passes, a 2-to-1 ratio touchdown passes and interceptions, a productive passing game that can pick up yards through the air, it'll help the running game, obviously. To me, that would be the one thing they must do to make the playoffs this year. What about you?
It's interesting because anytime you go through this exercise, you have to – everybody, even the people we've got on the tweet sheet at this point and other people around, and when you think about this, there's always certain things that you're willing to concede that they have already done or that they're going to do or that you don't have to say. Like, you don't have to say that the Bills' defense has got to be a top 10 defense. Well, they were top three last year. You got to think that you're going to give them that, right? So there's a number. How far are you going to go and what are you going to concede? Well, here's what I say. What for me, what it comes down to is this, and I know this is unpredictable to think about, but I think they've got to be a plus double digit in the turnover margin at the end of the year. They got to be plus 10 or better in turnovers because they've got, to me, from what I saw last year, from his abilities, from what I know about the guy, Josh is going to take a step forward. He's going to have a better play. He's got better players around him. He's got better weapons around him. He's going to have a better offensive line. His defense is still going to be solid, and he's got all kinds of ability. He's got a second year in the system. He's got an offensive coordinator who knows how to use him and knows him, and they've got a great quarterback room. They've got good depth just about everywhere. They're sitting in a great spot. So what it boils down to for me is I concede a lot of things. They're going to get better in the passing game. They're going to be a better running team than they were a year ago. Their defense is going to continue to play well, maybe even better. So what it comes down to for me is Josh can't turn it over. LeSean can't turn it over. Cole Beasley can't turn it over. John Brown can't turn it over. Zay Jones can't turn it over. Robert, you know, none of the skills guys on offense and their special team, they can't turn it over. And their defense has to be opportunistic and get some footballs out. They've got to do that consistently throughout the season. If they do that, they're going to win enough games to get in the playoffs and to be the kind of team that we all hope they can be. They've got to be plus double digits in the turnover margin.
Looked it up last year. They were minus 5 with 23 interceptions thrown by the Bills, and they came up with where is it here? 23 interceptions and 16 picks by the Buffalo defense, so minus 7. They were fumbles lost. They lost 9. Their opponents lost 11. So they were minus 5 in turnover takeaway last year. That's how you get to 6 wins. That's how you get to 6-10.
And I go round and round. You could do this all day about woulda, coulda, shoulda. And I'll do it. I'll say it again. Charles Clay catches that ball in Miami on the last play of the game. They're 7-9. And if they cover that fumble – inside of 2 minutes in Houston, they're 8-8. And that changes not only, you know, the season. They would never have gone to the playoffs had that happened. I get it. But I'll tell you this, there's a lot of people around the country that given the way their offense was and their running game was and their offensive line problems a year ago, Sean McDermott would have raised a lot of eyebrows with the job he did with that with this club last year. He's not going to get that win in six games, taking a step backwards. But after everything that happened, starting four different quarterbacks behind that offensive line, two of those guys starting after just being 2 weeks here, and to cobble together a season like that with those two plays going the other way and going 8-8, there would have been a lot more people around the country on the bandwagon.
For the Bills to make the playoffs, they got to do what? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. You know how many teams were plus 10 or more turnover takeaway last year?
Not many.
I just looked it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Just five. Seattle led the league plus 15. Were they a playoff team?
Yeah.
Last year?
I believe they were.
I got to look that up. Houston plus 13. Chicago plus 12. Rams plus 11. Patriots plus 10. Nobody else was plus 10 or more. So that's a pretty good stat to look at. You can look at it any way you want. Do you want to look at stats? You want to look at particular games? You want to look at particular players who have to perform? Whatever you think. Let us know what you think, though. For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? Let's go to the tweet sheet. It is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? Brian says to make the playoffs, 4-2 in the division makes it doable. 3-3 makes it possible, but a much tougher road. But 5-1 would be huge. That gives us a legit shot at the division. Yeah.
It's true.
Look, and there's no way they should have lost to the Dolphins last year, to be honest with you, any game. And they did. They split. And I think you got to look at the Jets game as critical this year, the opener and the finale. Sweep those games. Sweep those games. Now you got four. Steal one from the Patriots, there's your 5-1. It's not that ridiculous to think they could go 5-1 in the division if they are who we kind of think they will be. Sweep the Dolphins and sweep the Jets are the keys. And pick up the one win against the home game, clearly, September 29th, against the Patriots. There you go, 5-1. Boom.
Yep. And that the Jets game, not everybody's kind of counting the Dolphins as being this team that's going to be – you know, the number four team in the division just because of the state of their roster, the new head coach and all that. The Jets have got a lot to prove with a brand new head coach, a new system, coming back with a second-year quarterback trying to learn another new offense in the offseason. Although their roster is truly upgraded, I think, because of the free agent signings they've had. They've got Le'Veon Bell. They've got some guys over there. So it'll be interesting to see if the Jets can answer those questions, given the fact that it's the first year in the system for all of those guys. We also have something else from the tweet sheet. For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? From Big Bills fan 1965, the Bills offense needs to be more consistent, running and passing. Josh needs to do his part to protect the rock. Defense needs more takeaways and a consistent pass rush. There's a lot in there, but yeah, I think the Bills' defense was really consistent. They didn't get very many turnovers, because they didn't really have a chance to rush the passer as often as I think they wanted to. They were on the field a lot. They were never facing an offense that really was in desperation mode because, you know, the Bills' offense led the league in three and outs, and because of that, you know, they really never faced an offense that was really kind of playing on the ragged edge of desperation, which is where you get turnovers. You think back to the 2017 season when the Bills were churning out turnovers in the first half of that season in an enormous way that really led to a couple of wins early on that China, I think, changed the tide of the season. Yeah, I'd like to see that again too. More consistent run and pass, yeah, okay, that's –
more consistent passing is the key for me.
Poor.
I looked it up. You were right. Seattle, I forgot about this game, but now I remember it. Seattle did make the playoffs with their plus 15 turnover ratio. They lost a wild card game to the Cowboys. Remember, it was a pretty good game, as I recall watching it. Look, there's no right answer for today's question, is there? It's whatever you think. For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? Can you boil it down to one thing? Help us out with that. 803-0550, the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Whatever you see, stats, player performance, schedule, games to win, stretches to do well in, whatever you see there, let us know. Chris on the line from Buffalo. Hello, Chris. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, good afternoon, first.
Hi.
We have to beat New England. We have to steal one of those games from New England. If we lose two games to New England every year, we have to win 10 out of 14 games. Also, we need a pass rush. We have to be up in the quarterback's faces to just get the turnovers that we're talking about.
Okay, beat New England would be a big start, as you said, just one of them. Because if you don't, you're right, it's a 14-game season then, and you got to win 10 of 14. That's a lot. I think sweeping the Jets is key. Sweeping the Dolphins is almost mandatory for the Bills this year, and taking one from New England would go a long way towards ensuring a playoff spot.
Yeah, I agree. You can slice it any way you want to. They got to have a winning record in the division. I don't care if they sweep New England and the Jets and lose both to Miami. You're 4-2 in the division. That's, you know, you got to do that. You got to win your division games. There's no question about it. You start out in New York against the Jets. That game is going to be as anticipated of an opener as this club's had in a long time to me. You got those first two, rookie quarterbacks going at it again. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a challenging. It's going to be a challenging rivalry for years and years to come because of those two guys, and we're going to get to see them do it. It's going to be fun, and it's going to mean a lot. I think it's going to get your season off to a great start or a disappointing start because I think both those teams. There's no question. You know, every team thinks they're going to win every week. But I think even now, when that schedule came out, both those clubs go, man, we're going to win that game.
Yeah.
We're going to win that game. The Jets really have to think that because they're at home.
Yeah.
They've got to be thinking that.
What do you think? We're just getting it going here. For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? Can you boil it down to one thing? Give us a call if you can, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Send in a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. I'll tell you what, you got to be healthy coming out of training camp. That's big, too, and training camp starts next week. Coming up in a couple of weeks, the return of the blue and the red. The Bills will have an open public practice right here in Orchard Park on Friday, August 2nd. Starts at 6:15. The gates open at 5:15 at New Era Field. Interactive games, photo ops, much more, including practice. The return of the blue and the red. If you can't get to Rochester, your chance to see a bona fide training camp practice right here in the stadium. Friday, August 2nd. You need a ticket, and there are certain locations where you can get going on the ticket. The ticket vouchers can be obtained at these places, Topps Friendly Markets, Mount Reed Boulevard in Rochester, Topps on Maple Road in Buffalo, 7-Eleven, Southwestern Boulevard in West Seneca, Crosby's on Main Street in Clarence, and Sunoco A-Plus Main Street in Waynesville. You get your voucher there, and you sign up for the digital ticket, and you're in. The return of the blue and the red. The Bills night practice coming up Friday, August 2nd. Back with more in a moment. For the Bills to make the playoffs, they got to do what? Let us know what you think. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We got here's a little inside show info. The first half hour is always the toughest for me, Steve. You and Jay were talking to our producer earlier today about once we get to 1:30, once we get to 2:30, I thought once I get to 12:30, I'm good.
I do.
I worry about that first half hour.
The first half hour is easy, man.
No, I think it sets the tone. It's important for you and I to establish a dialogue. You know, I worry. That's the only half hour of the show I worry about. Noon to this time.
Well, we got into the Twitter. We got into the Twitter question today. Say what for the Bills to make the playoffs? What must they do? So we got all that squared away, and you and I are, you know, having a good day. I mean, it's not like
it's
we don't have we have bad days, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
By the way, are we going to now? It's time for my special pet project. Remember what we're going to do now?
Eating lunch. Can we put
that
on
what's
hold
for
or
lunch?
Do you want to do it now?
No, we're going to do it now. Do you want to do something else first?
I'd like to continue with our topic.
You like the topic?
You want to abandon it at 12? See, maybe 12:30 is the most difficult part of the show.
No, no, no.
You don't want to put it
away. Oh, it's going to be with us for the entire day.
Well, when you look, nobody cares about our inside stuff. But you don't want to abandon it this early. Look,
okay.
I got two calls on hold. We got a
bunch of people calling in wanting to talk to us.
Yeah, it's a good topic.
All right, let's hear it.
For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? What do you think?
Let's go.
Doug in Brockport. Tell Steve why this is an important and valuable topic, Doug. Hello, Doug.
Steve, I think you agree with this totally in that it's got to be special teams.
Special teams.
Special teams, especially from the fact you pointed out two plays. If you look at the special teams and how many plays they put wins in jeopardy, the offense is probably going to improve. The defense looks like it might improve. Special teams was so horrible that if that improves greatly, you're gonna increase your chances of a lot of wins.
Like, give me some specific examples of special teams stinking.
The Jets game in Buffalo. Now we've got that returner. He had two incredible returns, which put them in position for 10 points, I believe it was. It might be 14.
Right.
So they win that game right there on the special teams. There was the fact that we had injuries. Some punts were terrible. Good returns off those punts. Hauschka had a lot of trouble where he normally doesn't because of his injury. So there's a lot of instances where they had a lot of opportunities of scores against them and what could have been for them, which, you know, changed the complex of the game.
There you go. It's a good call.
I don't know if special teams is horrible. Wasn't good. They've replaced the special teams coordinator. They've added players on special teams. You expect
injured.
To get a full year out of the punter this year, which you did not get last year.
Marquez got injured.
Yep. Horrible, I think, is a little bit of an overstatement.
You can say what you want. I mean, you need better coverage. I mean, when somebody gets a good return against you, it's good for him and it's great. You know, you got this return guy. Coverage trumps all of that. I mean, I don't, you know, you need guys that are, you've still got this. If you've, for instance, if you still got the same guys covering, it doesn't, I mean, some other Wahoo could return one against you too if you got guys that can't cover.
Yeah.
So I get it. You're right. I have a hard time thinking, even if, I mean, you can even give me Devin Hester, and I don't know that that's going to make me think I'm going to get an extra couple of wins during the season. But yeah, I get you. It is a systemic thing you got to have in place. It's about field position and it's about possession. And your field goal kicker's got to be money. I like Hauschka. I think he's really good. Unfortunately, did get hurt last year, but you know that's football. So if you can stay away from injuries to your kicker and your punter, you're going to be ahead of the game this year for sure. And I think Hauschka's going to come back and have a really nice year. So we'll see. I think that's a good question. It's a good point. Everything's got to be clicking for this team. And there are certain things that didn't last year. Special teams at times was one of them, and the offense. You know, with a rookie quarterback and four different guys taking snaps at different times in the year, and the offensive line not being as good as it could have been, should have been, would have been, whatever. There's a lot of things that you can go to in this question and come up with, and special teams is one of them.
For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? Jay in Buffalo on the line with a thought on that. Jay, go ahead.
Hi, Murph and Steve. Basically, I think they need to do 6-2 at home and then 500 on the road. I think it's too difficult to pinpoint one thing, running game, passing game. Each game is kind of situational. But I think if they can go 6-2 at home and 500 on the road, 10 wins, I think we got a decent shot.
Yeah, what were they, 4-4 at home last year, 2-6 on the road, I believe? That's not going to get it done, 2-6 on the road especially. You're right. And you know what, one of the good points you make there, Jay, I'll let you get back up here in a second, is the situational nature of each game, right? Games change. Situations change. They're horrible defense in the first couple of weeks against last year against Baltimore and the Chargers. Got better. And all of a sudden, you didn't need to score 35, 40 points. You can get by after that with 27 points and probably be playing well. And that's why I go back to the offense and a more consistent passing game, part of an overall better offense, I think, would be the best thing that they must do. But go ahead, Jay. You had another point to make? You're gone. What do you think about that? 6-2 at home?
Well, yeah, that's
500 or better on the road.
That's an axiom that, you know, you win your home games and go 500 on the road, and even if you go better than 6-2 at home, yeah, just and split on the road. The problem is every one of those games is different. You can generalize whatever. I don't think going on the road, certainly it's more difficult to play depending on which stadium and the travel arrangements and how that all that goes and how familiar you are with playing in that city away. For instance, going to play the Jets on opening day for guys who are veterans of the Buffalo Bills, that doesn't seem like that big a road game because you've been to that hotel six times in your career. You've played the Jets, whatever, however many times you've played them there, you've been in that hotel. It's kind of familiar to you. Going back there on the second week of the season, that's just a repeat. It becomes routine then. Then it's not such a big deal going on the road. When I saw that come out on the schedule with the Jets, Giants, back-to-back, same stadium at two road games, you can only count. To me, that's like a half a road game.
Because not of the two. Proximity or the familiarity?
Because
or
of the familiarity with the Jets stadium and that Jets team, and the Giants are in the stadium that you would think is familiar to you, particularly the second week in a row. It becomes really routine, and it becomes less of a distraction, less of a road game, less of all the things that go into it. Certainly the crowd is going to be Jets or Giants. But, man, oh, man, that to me is a plus, getting two road games in that building in the same year, 2 weeks in a row. To me, that is a big a break on a schedule, particularly in away schedules, I've ever seen. I think it's a huge boost for the Bills. I think hopefully they'll play like that. But you can say that, and theoretically, that's always been said. You win your home games and you split on the road, and that's no question. If you do that, you're in the playoffs, and you're in the playoffs easily. Because if you do it exactly like that, it's 12 wins. You know, so that's you're right. But yeah, you can split up opponent. That's a good opinion, and you're right. You got to do it somehow, some way, shape, or form. You got to get to 10 wins.
Giants open their season on the road at Dallas the week before, on Sunday the week before. That'll be a big game for them, obviously, right? That would be a game that they would have focus of their –
talking about Dallas game?
The Giants open at Dallas first week. So, I mean, is there a letdown for Buffalo? Home opener? It's hard to beat a team in their home opener.
Well, that's
hard
true.
To beat the Giants in their home opener,
I'm sure.
They got
two of them in a row.
Yeah.
In the same stadium.
Yeah. Let's go to Bob in Buffalo. Hello, Bob. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I guess what I'm going to say involves a little bit of luck, but also some practice. And I think it's staying healthy. And people have alluded to that. But it certainly messes up every team. They all use it for an excuse when things go south. But and if not that, it's got to be the turnovers. And there's a lot of luck involved in that. But there's also design. And I think also with staying healthy, there's a lot of that too.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right, It is unpredictable, and turnovers was what I alluded to early in the broadcast as well. I think turnovers are going to be a key because I kind of acknowledge that the offense is going to be better than it was a year ago. The running game, the passing game, the weapons around Josh and the offensive line are that much better. That means LeSean, McCoy, Frank Gore, all those guys are going to play better. Cole Beasley, John Brown are going to be an upgrade from where they were a year ago. And so I think all that's going to come together in such a way that really the big question is, can they get more possessions from their defense, and can they hang on to the football and not give possessions away? And I think that's as big a thing as anything. And the fact that you said that about injuries is interesting because the Bills led the league last year in the least amount of games lost to player injury. So if that continues, that's a plus.
Can't count on that.
You
it
can't
scares,
count on
scares
it.
Me when you cite that.
Yeah, you know, you
it
can
does.
Knock on wood, but it's
no.
You know.
It makes me think, oh, we'll pay for it now. You know what I mean? Luck is a factor.
Yeah, but me saying it doesn't have anything to do with it.
Don't say it again.
Yeah, right.
For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? Back to the tweet sheet. Here's a good one from Huggy Bear. And I'm surprised this did not come up sooner. Huggy Bear tweets this in. For the Bills to make the playoffs, he says the offensive line has to gel together fairly quickly. Key to the whole season, if Josh Allen can be the point guard and quarterback and not play hero ball and let his playmakers do the work for him, he will be much better. The defense is good enough now. The offense just has to score more regularly. But the offensive line is a question mark and a key, a big key. I mean, now that I think of it, Huggy Bear, you might be onto it in terms of position group under the radar as to what will make the difference between the Bills going to the playoffs or not. It probably is the offensive line, just question marks, right? Question marks up front. More solid at center. People will tell you there are four other positions that are wide open. I don't know about that. I think Dawkins is good at left tackle, but there are questions on the offensive line. And until those questions are answered in an affirmative way, it's hard. You know, you got to wonder, do they have what it takes to be in the playoffs? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they've taken all the logical, well thought out steps they can
to
fix it.
No question. They've done what they can.
And that's, you've got, and plus, don't forget, and I hate to say it in these terms, and I'll probably exaggerate a little bit to make a point. They were horrible. There's no way they can play like they did last year, right, in my opinion. They just won't. This coaching staff and this regime won't let it happen.
And most of that group isn't even back.
That's right. They're going to be all new guys, and they got a new coach. everything is going to be different. They are not going to be the same as they were last year. To me, that is all. It's a given. Physical upgrades at every position, except for the left tackle, who is, to me, he's good. We're set there. That is not an emergency at left tackle. Deion Dawkins can play. I'm confident that he's going to give you, if he's healthy, 16 games. So, and Mitch Morse, I think, was the coup of the offseason. I think he is going to be a huge difference maker for the offensive line. Cody Ford is going to come in. I think he'll probably be the one guy up front who may have some growing pains, but I think another overlooked guy that I really like that they signed was Spencer Long. The Jet fans got soured on him for one. He tried to play hurt with a busted finger at center and could not make a shotgun snap in a game, and he had a horrible game, and his coaching staff just left him in. He couldn't grip the ball with his snap hand, tried to keep snapping it, and he kept throwing it around over the quarterback's head or under his feet. They lost, they had fumbles and all kinds of problems in this one game. So now all the fans are looking at Spencer Long like he can't play at all, and they cut him for it. The guy had a busted finger and was trying to go and help his team. He's not the guy to blame for that. If you got a guy with snapping the ball with a busted finger, you do what the Jets did. You fire the coach.
Yeah.
So now you've got this guy who has got a lot of NFL experience, playing, who's a really good player. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to come in and be a first ballot Hall of Famer or even an All-Pro this year, but the guy can get it done up front. He's an athletic, he's got experience, and he's young enough. And he's been in this division. So to me, that guy was a big signing as well. Not only Mitch Morse, and you got Deion Dawkins, but Spencer Long has been overlooked. He's a perfect guy, and hopefully, if in a perfect world, and I'm not saying this against Spencer Long, he's a starter quality guy. Hopefully, he can't get on the field and becomes the swing guy at guard center because you got three guys even better up front. If that happens, then you may have a couple of guys who are all pro up front. That's the kind of quality of guys they brought in. Mitch Spencer Long is a good player, and he got kicked to the curb in New York because he tried to play hurt. So in a perfect world, if he can't get on the field, man, you got some guys because that guy's a proven starter. So all of this said, yeah, the offensive line is the engine for every offense. We saw it last year. You can have a guy who's good enough to play hero ball like Josh Allen, I mean, along the lines of like a Cam Newton was trying to do a couple few years ago when he first came in the league. But you get an offensive line in front of him, and then all of a sudden the quarterback can take the cape off, you know, and start spreading it around a little bit. And if that happens, yeah, everybody gets better, and including the defense.
We're going to take a break here. Kyle Williams coming up after the top of the hour. More discussion on this topic for the Bills to make the playoffs. They must do what? We'll talk about that with you when we return. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
One Bills Live, John Murphy, Steve Tasker here until 3 today. Kyle Williams coming up in a couple of minutes on the show. He's the narrator for Buffalo Bills Embedded, which makes its debut on Sunday. We're going to talk about Madden 20 with one of the game designers coming up at 2. We're talking about this question that we put out there today. For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? What do you think? Shane on the line from Fresno, California. Shane, what do you think?
You know,
You know what, guys? First of all, I enjoy your guys' show. But
thanks, Shane.
There's a few things that the Bills have to do. There's three things.
Three things.
Well, like you guys said, is the offensive line has to gel. I'm very confident this year that the Bills' offensive line will get it done, honestly. I mean, we got a couple good guys. Even we got Boone, which we signed, what, last year and didn't play like expectations. He's still going to be there and hopefully redeem himself and offensive line. Second is we got to get off the gates pretty hot. We got a winnable games. We got, I believe it's like the Giants and Giants, and then we play the Jets or so.
Yep. Other way around, but yep.
Those are winnable games, and we have to start off the game. And the main thing that we really, really, really have to do is we got to beat the Patriots this year. We got to get that one game under our feeling good about ourselves and beat the Patriots. I mean, I'm not saying to beat both, Patriots twice, but, I mean, it's possible to beat the Patriots at least once.
Well, Shane, let me ask you, and that's an important distinction, I think. Do they need to beat the Patriots? Is that a feel-good win, or is that you think it's essential for them to beat the Patriots if they're going to make the playoffs?
Well, I mean, first of all, you get the extra victory in the division. Beat the Jets and Dolphins, which, you know, they're not that good of a team, to be honest with you. I mean, I believe Buffalo is a better team. I mean, if we can get those two victories, one against that, I mean, that's a good five wins in our division, I mean, and get a few more. I mean, we play the NFC East.
So it's more than a feel-good win. It would feel good.
I'm pretty sure that would feel pretty good. Yeah, no question. You're right. I think there's no question that at some point you've got to focus on knocking the champion off the throne of the AFC East, and that's the Patriots. I think for most people, we've seen teams go 4-2 in the division, sweep two teams, and get swept by the third team. If you're going to go 4-2, most people around the country would say the Patriots are going to sweep the division. I don't know that I buy that. I don't think the Patriots even think that way. They'd like to win every game in front of them, but they're not thinking it in the big picture like that. It would be, I think more than anything, it's a feel-good win, no question about it. If you want to win the division, you need to beat all of the division opponents. Even if you go split with all of them and go 3-3, I think a lot of people in Western New York would feel better about that than going 4-2 and sweeping the Jets and the Dolphins.
You know what? Shane made a good point, I thought, right off the bat when he said, or a second point he made, start fast. When you think back to last year and the way the season opened with the terrible loss in Baltimore, 47-3, the home opener, you know, the Chargers just racked up points. The Bills got within 11 but gave up 31 points. That was a horrible way to start, Steve. And I think there was, you know, yeah, they beat Minnesota, and then they lost to Green Bay. It took a while for them to kind of get on their feet last year. I think Shane made a good point. Fast start this year, the two New York games, home against Cincinnati. You get, I mean, two of those three, it's a totally different story, right? Two of those three going into the Patriots game, you'd feel different. If we're talking about feel good, you'd feel good if you were 2-1 with the Patriots coming to town. End of the month.
Yeah, no question. You're right. Last year, it was a really tough start to the season. And you know, they had all those question marks at quarterback, and all the answers to those questions seemed no. You know, there's nobody ready to play. And even now, this regime, you know, Brandon Bean, they wish they would have had those guys in, brought a veteran quarterback in much sooner in the process. A.J. McCarron was not the answer. They thought they got him from Cincinnati as a free agent. They thought he might help them. He didn't. They actually traded him at the end of training camp because he wasn't playing any better than anybody else. So I think that at the way the season got off to the start that it did last year, I think you're right, Murph. I think it hit them right in the mouth. It wasn't until that Minnesota game when they blew out of the gates and beat the Minnesota Vikings that they finally found themselves in a spot where they could rally around somebody, and that was obviously Josh early in the season. But, man, oh, man, getting out of the gates fast to me would be 2-1 at worst, 3-0 to going into the Patriots. Having the Patriots coming in here would be the great one.
All right, we're going to talk more about this topic. What do the Bills – what must they do to make the playoffs this year? We'll continue that going forward. And maybe we should bring it up with Kyle, right? He's a Bills follower.
Absolutely, yeah.
Kyle Williams, 13-year veteran on the defensive line, the narrator of the Bills Embedded Series. He'll join us next when we return for hour number two of the show. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. From One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.